rosa. No.
Yes, sound. Yes. Don't anybody breathe. It's working. Okay. Now, here we go again. I wanted to get some background stuff from you about your family. Did you live with both? You lived with both parents?
Right.
All the time? Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Just one sister.
Mm-hmm.
Just one.
Mm-hmm. And you went to public schools?
No, I went to boarding school.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
All girls?
Yeah, no. It was co-ed, public school. First 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to public high school.
Yeah.
But I was brought up poorly. Strict Catholic.
Oh, mm-hmm. Did you have any, religious-related problems when you found out you were gay? Internal?
Not really, because I started to fall away from that. I guess it was about my sophomore year in college.
Mm-hmm.
So, it had nothing to do with being gay. Philosophical reasons, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
After, being brought up in, or going to a parochial school, at that time you were just told what you would believe.
Mm-hmm.
You were memorized by them, and that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
When I got to college and we got into these discussions, Mm-hmm. I had a rude awakening. So I wasn't as strong a Catholic as I had been as a youngster. It was a blow to me, I think. So by the time I came out, I had thought about it, but yet I felt it was my life. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel that it was a sin or anything.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did your parents do for a living?
Well, my mother never worked until I went away to college.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a machinist. Oh, really, I had a pretty good life.
Mm-hmm.
I can go to school when I was there.
Mm-hmm. But your family was probably, would you call them working class?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it was rough when I was little. Because just dad worked. He just had the one income. He didn't have all that much money.
Mm-hmm.
But we were always taking care of him and happy.
Yeah.
We got into a discussion one time. I don't remember who brought it up in a group, but we started discussing all the people that we knew that were gay and how many of them came from broken homes. And it was really amazing the number of people who had them. There were very few of us who had grown up, you know, with both parents involved, not involved in a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, the death of a parent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something I never thought about.
Yeah.
So I feel very fortunate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did have a good home. I think it brought up fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
But I had never told my parents.
Oh, that you were gay?
Yeah.
After you discovered, they still don't know?
No.
Do you feel that they would, I don't know, feel negatively about it? Or?
I think my father knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's kind of a male chauvinist.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, at this point, too, you know, we're both getting in the 70s, and my father, and so, so I wouldn't, there have been a number of times that I would like to just told him.
Mm-hmm.
The situation not easier, but. I wouldn't take that chance.
Yeah. Have they asked you about marriage and why you're not married?
Well, they never asked me why, but they have, you know, well, you do have a boyfriend, and
mm-hmm.
you don't know, like, yeah, that comes up occasionally, but they have never, ever, even when I was a youngster, put any pressure on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they know how much I enjoy my job, and I do put a lot of time into it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too bad, but there's just been times when I would like to tell them.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm not willing to take a chance. I really
don't. What would happen if they disapprove? Would they disown you?
Basically, I don't think so. My mother never would, but my father is a dominant figure there, and I'm not too sure about him. Well, it wasn't in the past.
Uh-huh.
Now, since he's been sick, he has changed a lot. And he could probably handle it a lot better now than he could even 5 years ago, but because of his condition, I wouldn't risk it.
Uh-huh.
Because he has a health problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, add that to it, to the whole situation.
Mm-hmm. When you were younger, did you assume that you were going to get married and have kids and just do all the regular stuff?
Not really. No, I don't. I think I know I thought about it and just assumed someday I would, but I don't think I ever looked forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I never put any effort into it.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It was just one thing after another, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially getting through school and or getting through college because I had to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to study. And I guess I never really thought too much about it. someday it would happen, but like I told you before, when it got down to the nitty gritty, I was always backing out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you still have any straight friends? Do you maintain any straight friends since you've been gay?
You know, who've gotten married. As a matter of fact, one just called me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be, she's in town visiting. I'm supposed to come over. But I really haven't. I really don't have that much of a social life during the school year.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't have time. Starting next Monday, right through Easter, you know, I don't get home until, you know, any place, anywhere from 7:30 to 10:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
5 days a week plus work on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't leave much time.
It sure doesn't.
No.
Because you're teaching and you're coaching afterwards? And
yeah, well, I teach all day long, and then I go into an intramural program, and then I start coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we have a game, I've got maybe an hour and a half after school to myself, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, isn't that much, and I've got to go back. And then by the time I get back here at night, you know.
Do you get paid extra for coaching and all that stuff?
Yeah, last year I figured it out to be about $1.25 an hour.
Terrific.
Yeah.
You love it then.
Yeah, you have to.
You gotta love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes its toll on you after a while. That's one of the reasons, you know, I'm really considering at least dropping one sport. Because I have lost contact with a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you just can't remain friends with somebody and not call them for 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whether they're straight or gay.
Yeah.
Whereas, but the gay people are more understanding about something like that.
Well, especially if they're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. But even the ones that aren't involved in that, like I have a couple of them who I won't hear from for 6-7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And they get on the phone and call.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing? Or I read in the paper this year too. You know, the straight friends just don't do that.
Mm.
Mine here.
Yeah. You said before that you didn't feel like you were really a part of a lesbian community, and I guess what I'd like you to do is define for me what community means, what a lesbian community would mean to you.
I guess it would be like a large social group.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of a lesbian community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't really have all that many friends. There might be like a friend, I might have a friend in a group here, and another friend in the group here, but none of it all just seems to pull together.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I'm having a hard time
explaining
exactly what I mean. I don't belong to any large group of lesbian friends.
Uh-huh.
It's repetitious, but again, it just goes back to my work.
Yeah.
I spend so much time there.
Mm-hmm.
Going out occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be to a friend's house here, or to a movie with my roommate. Or I don't really consider that a community of friends.
Mm-hmm. Were you aware of the gay movement at
aware
all?
Aware of it, but I was never a part of anything like that. I contributed money.
Yeah. How did you become aware of it?
Well, just through the papers, through friends.
Uh-huh.
It's just about it. A few of my friends have gotten into it.
Uh-huh. In Buffalo?
No, not here. There were a couple friends in Rochester who, you know, had talked to me about it and really, you know, really gotten into it. But again, you know, even, again, being a teacher, they say, well, they say to me, well, I know you can't get involved in it.
Yeah.
But, you know,
right.
I would like to talk about it, or, you know, they
mm-hmm.
hit me for some money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I never have gotten into it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I would, you know, I support it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good cause. But.
Do you think that the gay movement has done anything, I don't know, in the country or locally for gay people?
Yeah, I definitely do. I can see a difference at school with the youngsters. There's a big difference. You take 5-6 years ago, and something, if there, well, we have one gay teacher at school that everybody knows about. And our kids were really nasty. Really nasty about it 5 or 6 years ago. Today, oh, they use the word faggot a lot, but it doesn't have the connotation that it had.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as derogatory as it was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get on each other. They don't kid each other. If they don't really mean that when they say it. They might call a Turk a faggot, you know. But the boy who actually is, and they know, they leave alone. They don't harass like they used to.
Hmm.
They just seem to accept it more now than they did 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
They're more aware of it, and it's not, I don't know, it's just not such a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
If maybe there are more of them, I don't know.
Yeah. Do you ever remember when you first started being gay and going into bars occasionally, or did people ever tell you what it used to be like years ago when they were younger, older women in the bars?
No, not really.
Nobody ever told you about the 50s?
No.
Or the 40s, and what it was like?
Mm-hmm. It was now. And
uh-huh.
No, I don't remember. I don't know that many people, older people.
Mm-hmm.
Who are gay. When I came out, it just seemed to be just everybody was about my age. I don't remember any older person in this group. Now we are.
Yeah. Right. Well, it seems like now a lot of people discuss what it used to be like in the 60s.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it seems like people might have discussed what it used to be like in the 50s.
I don't know.
And
the
sort of hand-down stories.
Was it that different?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it was different.
Think so?
Yeah.
Because
but
it seems to be more of a revelation in the 70s than, you know, between
uh-huh.
the 60s and 70s and the 50s and the 60s.
You think so?
Even with the music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, I think I only know about one person. No, that's not right, because even though she was older, she came out about that. I don't really know. The only thing I can remember talking about years before was Fight from there. I can remember that. Now that you got me thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember one older woman. And mm-hmm. I'm saying about the really violent fist fight that they would get into.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that's
your sort of image of what the 50s were like, maybe?
Yeah. Police harassment, too, I remember them talking about.
Uh-huh.
Well, I saw a little bit of that myself, you know, with the boys. They would just pick them up on the street.
In Rochester or Buffalo?
No, in Rochester. I remember that. When I first came out, like, especially Halloween, when the boys were being dragged, the cops would just pick them up, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, take them down to the station just so the beards overnight, you know, would come out and just embarrass them. Keep them until the morning,
mm-hmm.
and then let them go.
They didn't harass the women as much?
No. No, I they never bothered us. No.
Uh-huh. And did you know any women who were harassed by the police?
Yes, I was involved in a court case. Back in, oh, golly. '67 or '68. It was the only time I ever saw police harassment on one of the women.
What kind of court case was it?
Well, he physically abused her. And I was one of the witnesses, so I was called to testify on it. And she did win that court case. And consequently, I don't remember ever seeing a policeman again in Barron Rochester after that. Because they sued for something like $100,000.
And she won it.
Maybe that's why I'm not on that phone.
I don't know, I'm sorry. I was pressing really hard. I may have stopped it from back then. And I'm trying to get the squeak out of it. So I may have done something for it. Let me just sit a little bit. But I think it's okay. You know, that's one of the questions I had on the sheet was police harassment. You've never seen anything in Buffalo that was like that, though.
No. Well, I haven't been out here as much as I, you know, have gone out there. But no, I don't remember ever seeing a policeman in a bar here. But in Rochester, years ago, when I first came out, like the blue chip.
That's about 67.
Yeah, I can remember just being in there at the bar, seeing a couple policemen walk in, the bartender getting a bottle, and they walk out.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if the same thing happens here and just nobody sees their battle go.
I don't know.
Are most of the women you know involved in relationships now?
Yes.
Do you think that, were you looking for?
No, I'm just saying, as a matter of fact, I don't think I know of anybody that isn't.
Yeah.
That's a difference too between now and years ago. There are more people involved in relationships than there were, I'll say, 10, 12 years ago. At that time, there were more single people and a lot more dating than there is now.
Do you think that has to do with people being younger? And there being just more dating among younger people, or with the times having changed?
I think with the times having changed. I think that when I look back now, I feel I was very immature at that point. And that's all I did was just, you know, we would go out and Thursday night it would be somebody and Friday night it would be somebody else. And, and I believe it to be immaturity.
Yeah.
And I don't think the kids today are as immature as we were even 10 years ago.
Do you think most lesbians are looking for lasting relationships? Like?
I really couldn't say for other people. I know of many that don't believe in it, that would like to have a lasting relationship, but are not.
How do you feel?
Well, if you'd asked me that a month ago, I would have told you. I really believed in it. I feel I could do it, finding the right person.
Yeah.
I thought I had.
Yeah.
Because I get into that whole routine of responsibility and obligations. It's hard. It's discouraging when you talk to somebody and they say, well, you know, you can't have a lasting relationship, you know, in the gay life. Yeah, I don't think that's true. I know people have been together 14, 15, 20 years, and I know marriages that don't last that long.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a matter of being gay or straight. It's individual. What you're going to put into it. And that's the type of it.
What about monogamy in relationships? Have you been monogamous in your, like, longer relationships? I guess we should probably define monogamy first, because it gets defined in different ways. Maybe the standard definition is sexual fidelity.
Mm-hmm. We have to get into that.
No, we don't. You don't have to talk about that if you don't want. That's all right. Why don't we talk, instead of talking about you then, if you'd rather not, if you have any insights on, like, the people that you know, do you feel like, in general, as a group, people are monogamous, or occasionally non-monogamous or usually non, you know.
I think occasionally, uh-huh, most people. I guess including myself.
Yeah.
It's got to go to the relationship that you're in.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's why, you know, I hesitate myself, right? Because I have to think of the person that I was with.
What do you mean you hesitate?
Because, you know, I can be and I can't, I have been, I haven't been, and just depending on, you know, the relationship that I'm in with the girl, who the girl is, the way she treats me.
Uh-huh. Oh, then you feel that, like, saying cheating on is a real judgmental, mm-hmm, kind of term, and sometimes it isn't like that at all, you know, it's like a whole different, it's looking for something else, needing something else, whatever. Do you feel that that's a result of something lacking in the relationship you have at home?
Yeah, I really do.
Uh-huh.
There has to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say I don't think you can say that, you know, specific of one person. I think you'd have to look at who the person is going with,
yeah,
and who their lover is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen it, you know, in other people. And then other times they don't do it, and it's the same with me.
You
know.
Mm-hmm.
I used to cheat all the time, you know, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have a good relationship.
That was in your first long relationship.
Yeah, I did it then. And
mm-hmm.
I guess the only time I didn't was in the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. I almost didn't want.
almost didn't.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's how high is.
But because I did have a good relationship, I didn't. I came close.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
But that.
But you think that most gay women occasionally stray from a monogamous relationship.
Yeah.
But you think that also most gay women are looking for a permanent, approximately monogamous relationship.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I do.
Yeah, I think that's what most people
yeah.
have said.
Yeah.
You've talked about.
Uh-huh. It would be foolish not to. How could you go into a relationship without having that goal?
Well, people are trying to live alternate kinds of lifestyles, group relationships, and
oh, yeah.
more than one lover, and trying non-monogamy, open marriage, you know, all sorts of things.
But to me, I wouldn't call that a relationship then.
Oh, uh-huh.
A relationship to me is one-on-one, you know,
uh-huh.
just two people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I couldn't understand going into that with that kind of attitude. I would have to have the goal of something permanent.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you're looking for again this time. I mean, sort of ideally, even if you're not exactly shopping.
I'm not looking for it too quickly.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I think the older you get, the more particular you get, and the harder it is.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are things to think about now in looking for, you know, someone that I wouldn't have 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't have cared about a job. Or, you know, you think you can work everything out when you're in your 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get older, your job is important, your family is important.
Yeah.
And I think they have to be considered, or it can lead to an unhappy relationship.
How do you feel about growing old? Being gay and growing old? You know, the phrase is, nobody loves you when you're old and gay. And you think that's true? Do you think it's...
Mm.
You think it's just as hard or easy for
I don't think it's any harder. I don't see why it should be any harder. Now, if you put enough of yourself into life, you're not going to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't have a lover, you're still not going to be alone. That's one thing I learned in this,
mm-hmm.
this whole thing. I still have kids that love me.
Yeah.
And they're going to for as long as I'm working. I'll have it there. And you always have your friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you really do get a lot of, like, emotional satisfaction out of your job.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
for the pay that we get.
We got to
get, yeah, we got to get something out of it.
Uh-huh.
No, I do find it very rewarding.
Uh-huh.
Very, every day.
Yeah.
Every day there's something, there's, you know, some youngster that adds something to my life and makes me feel like I've accomplished something.
That's great.
Day by day.
Mm.
No, some days are bad.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And you also feel like you have a fairly supportive group of friends around you, even though it's maybe a small group.
Oh, yes. I just realized that a month ago.
Mm-hmm. During the breakup.
Yeah. It's probably the first time in my life that I needed a friend, and the first time I ever received them. You know, it took a traumatic experience, but I have never needed anyone before.
Uh-huh.
And it took them, like, one of them just broke down and just started crying. Said, all these years, you've been through everything with me, and you've helped me with everything, and now here, I can't do a thing for you. You know, and that really set me back. And I thought, that's because I haven't let you.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking that. I haven't let you do a thing for me. I haven't let anyone do anything for me. And it really made me, and then I started letting them do it, and all of a sudden I saw things that, in friends that I never saw before. You know, I saw somebody trying, and I saw someone, you know, reaching out to me. It was a
mm-hmm.
good lesson. And it has made me feel very secure with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good feeling.
So it's not scary growing old then?
I don't feel as though I'm growing old.
Well, good.
I don't, that's something I don't worry about, because I would not want to be 20 or 25 again.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't want to go through that mess again.
Yeah.
Really.
Uh-huh.
It's a very insecure part of your life. You may be young, but there are a lot of insecurities. You don't even know yourself at that age. I'm still learning.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm learning now, you know, what? Just think of all the things I'm going to know 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Which hopefully will make it a better life even.
Yeah. That's great. Well, really, it is. It's really, because we're trying to, you know, get some kind of theory about what kind of bars open where and when.
Well, I'm thinking financially.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at them and like, all right, take Valentino's. Well, I don't go down there during the week.
Yeah.
But I hear that, you know, very few people go out during the week to support this bar.
Yeah.
All right, they get a big crowd of Fridays here and night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And then I look at the one that they have in Rochester, and that bar has been there for 12 years.
What's the name of the one in Rochester?
Well, there are a few of them.
The one on 12th?
Club 212. Now, they have been there for years, but see, you can go in there at 12 o'clock noon, and there will be guys in there.
Yeah.
And they'll be in there all afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be there Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
When it gets to be 8 o'clock, they leave.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they don't, they, like, stay in the front room, and they don't bother the girls.
Yeah.
You know, so the man, he has a constant business.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no problems there. Yeah. I think that's quite unique. I've never seen another gay bar like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you can mix it with straight and gay.
Mm-hmm.
But probably, especially with gay girls going there and straight
mm-hmm.
men.
You don't think that a clientele of just lesbians is enough to keep a bar going?
Well, it just doesn't seem to be. Because
mm-hmm.
it changes so much here. I mean, why? I don't know if there's
I don't know.
Reason.
Have the bar own has the bar ownership changed radically over the years? Is there a different type
yeah.
of bar owner now from what
oh,
it used to
oh
be?
Oh, type. I don't know.
I mean, not just names of people, but
no, I know what you mean. The type of person. That, well, I think there are more gay people owning gay bars now than there
mm-hmm.
used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A long time ago, you didn't have that.
Yeah.
Again, I guess it's just a personality. No,
do you think the bars are better when gay people own them, or worse,
no.
or nothing?
They don't seem to be.
They could be better. They
no,
don't
like,
change at all?
No, like the club in Rochester, it's a straight guy that owns it. He gets along. He's very good to the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But his drinks are cheaper than any place. I pay 60 cents for a bottle of beer there,
mm-hmm.
or I paid $1 for a bottle here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can't really say, you know,
Now, here you mean which bar?
Well, I paid a buck at Valentino's.
No, that's not gay owned.
Oh, okay.
Mean Alice's? Is Mean Alice's gay? Yeah, Mean Alice's
yeah.
gay.
Well, that's anywhere from 95 to $1.25.
Uh-huh.
Here,
yeah.
I don't know if that's any indication, but they don't seem to. You get more of a break there. Like, I can remember when the fellow in Rochester, he was pressured by the people that worked for him to raise his prices. He says, yeah, I'm making enough money.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really care about it.
Hmm.
And he seemed to be treated much better. I know a lot of times when the girls got into trouble or they needed some money, he would be right there. And even some of the straight guys that would come in there.
Uh-huh.
You know, just had a good time with them. Like, I could go in there on a Sunday afternoon with the straight fellas and watch a football game and have a great time. Better time than I could, you know, someplace else.
Uh-huh.
And I just think that's unique. I've never seen it any other place. I've never seen a gay bar open as much as he is either.
Uh-huh.
You know, like they complain. I guess Valentino's is closed a lot. We went down there Sunday when we had Monday off for Columbus Day.
Right.
It was closed. And I had mentioned that to somebody, and
she
said, well, gee, some other my friends went down Wednesday and it was closed. And,
Did you ever go to any of the functions that were held by any of the gay groups in town? Dances or picnics or anything?
I went to one.
What was it?
What was that thing for? It was a coffee house. You were there.
Oh.
I forgot what the purpose was. It was
probably a fundraiser. We were all supposed
to
make money.
It was a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. I think something about for some gay woman to keep her child.
Oh, Lesbian Mothers Defense Fund.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. We
uh-huh.
went, I went to
when
that.
Was that?
Let's see. I got to think of who I was with. That was about 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I went to that, and I was waiting for you, as a matter of fact, I wanted to hear you sing, and I finally left because my school psychologist walked in.
Oh.
So I was only there about an hour.
Oh,
that's the only thing that,
I should tell you I'm singing Saturday night.
This Saturday?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah.
Good, great.
Yeah, we'll get some new people to come down.
Yeah. Because I had asked Cheryl about that.
Uh-huh, yeah. Good, bring a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
I'll need them up.
Yeah, that was great.
So that was the first time, and that was thought must have been at the center on Main Street.
I think it was just off Main Street. Yeah, I can't remember.
Was it an upstairs place?
No.
Mm.
It was like a health food thing. They had like carrot juice.
Carrot juice. Oh, yeah, that was Greenfield Street Restaurant.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
what it was. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was okay. It was a funny night.
Yeah,
I
sure
just straight guys sitting in the front. Oh, yeah. Well, that's, that would have been a place you would have been safe. Because that's an open restaurant. I mean, there were a lot of straight people there that night.
Well, see, I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
The only thing I knew was I saw him and... you know, you think, well, what is he doing here?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it could have been part of his job. I don't know. Because I know he... did they have anything to do with the Unitarian Church?
Well, there were different kinds of relations between the different groups. The Unitarian Church has supported the Mother's Defense Fund and we've held coffee houses there. And
I think he's
liaison.
He's pretty active with that.
Okay.
But I didn't expect to see him especially. It just made me feel uncomfortable.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I left. It was a short-lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only thing I've ever been to.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wouldn't dare. I used to go to picnics in Erie.
Oh, uh-huh.
Years ago.
Yeah.
It's been a good, probably 8 years, 9 years.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I think you were singing at one of them.
Yes.
Yeah, I was there.
Mm-hmm. That's a long time ago. Do you remember ever going to Dante's Inferno? It's the one thing I have not asked people yet, and I really would like to get people's recollection. You didn't go. Okay. It was a spaghetti place that you went to after the bar is closed. And I really want to get people's memories of Dante's because I thought it was an important part of the community. Yeah,
I've heard of it.
An important meeting place.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
It closed about at least 4 years ago. He died. Mm. It was a really great meeting place. Really weird.
I know. I don't know how I missed that.
Very traditional, you know, it was around for a lot of years. Mother's Defense Fund. Mother's Defense Fund. Do you have any comments about lesbian motherhood?
It's not true, though.
How?
Well, the last girl that I was with, that was one of our things. I wanted to, you know, adopt a child, asthmatic or whatever, and she didn't. So. I don't think there's anything wrong in it. I really don't, because I'm in a situation where, you know, I deal with kids who have one parent, you know, or one straight parent, or, you know, a mother and father who are fighting, or who are in the middle of a divorce, and I don't think a gay mother who really loves a child is going to give them a worse life than the lives that, yeah, possibly. I know, I feel I could give them a better life than a lot of the students that I have. I'm just for it 100%. I don't care, gay, straight, as long as you love that kid, you're going to bring him up there. That seems to be the only thing lacking with, you know, with the problem students that we do have. Boy, you just talk to a parent on the telephone and you instantly know why you're having problems with the student.
Well, can you think of anything else in particular that we might not have covered? I think we've talked about.
Really? I haven't talked this much. I'm usually a listener.
Yeah, I think we've really talked about just about everything, at least on these sheets, and probably some more. If there's more stuff that I need to ask you, we might be able to make, you know, an appointment at a later time. But, you know, probably not for quite a while.